when Katie and I travel in the summer with all of our kiddos, we can't help sometimes but look at other travelers that have RVs and campers and have some level of envy towards them. We feel it, okay? I know we shouldn't, but we do because it looks so accommodating to families, right? Your own space, a place that's air conditioned, you can get out of the heat, nap your kiddos in a pack and play. Well, we discovered Outdoorsy.com, and this is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the U.S. They offer thousands of RVs and campers nationwide, and they're available in your neighborhood. And there's multiple ways for you to travel and to do this, okay? You can drive it yourself, or you could tow it, or you can have it delivered and fully set up to wherever you're going at your destination, okay? That's pretty convenient. Now, there's built-in peace of mind that comes with this. There's comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, roadside assistance is included in your rental. And here's the deal. There's great value because oftentimes these are more affordable than hotels or vacation rentals. So it's your own space and it can be more affordable as well. If you are over 21 years of age, you do have to be 21 years in order to rent these things. The way you do it is it's just three simple steps, okay? You go to outdoorsy.com and you search and you choose an RV that fits your family and your trip, okay? And then you book with confidence. There's insurance, there's support, there's protection included. And then you hit the road, okay? Or if you're having it delivered to your location, I guess you'd still hit the road, but you would drive in your own car and then you'd arrive at your destination with an RV fully set up, okay? Those are the three steps. And this summer, they're actually running a campaign where when you use our code, which is FAMILY, they remove all service fees from your booking. And so when you go to outdoorsy.com, that's outdoorsy.com, and you use our code FAMILY at checkout, then you don't have to pay the service fees. They remove them. Okay. And in for instances like this, less fees are better. So this summer, if you're going to 250th anniversary celebrations, if you're going to down Route 66 to celebrate its 100th year anniversary, if you're going to fiddle contests, family camps, whatever it is, Christian conferences, go to outdoorsy.com and utilize their great services.
Today, we have the honor of having my Aunt Carla come on the podcast today. And it's kind of fun because Elisha and I are connected to Aunt Carla.
And that Uncle Rudy was
my husband, Elisha.
Me, you here
guys,
I am.
You guys know who he is.
Same one.
Same guy. Yeah. His one of his first fiddle teachers.
Yeah, that's right. Long before Katie and I were ever even anything, we drove to Central Oregon to take fiddle lessons from the world famous Rudy Boer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is why you married him, right?
Absolutely. Among other reasons.
Among other reasons. And now we have the honor of my Aunt Carla on the podcast talking about adoption. And Aunt Carla has been a missionary in the States and out of the States. You guys have done so many different things and really admire you and your family. Your my wonderful cousins are here today hanging out with our kids. And just in your own words, can you introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. So my name is Carla Boer and I've been married to my husband, Rudy, the world famous. He was national fiddle champion in 1990. That's what they're referring to, which as he likes to remind everybody, because he's super humble, that was a very long time ago, but he still is a terrific fiddle player.
Absolutely.
And terrific husband, father. We've been married, did I mention 30 years?
Wow.
Yeah, 30 years.
This year?
No, 31 in October. Wow. So okay, 30 so plus. Yes. Whoa. Katie was 6 months old, 9 months old at our wedding. And so I have a picture of her and Randy Lee on my lap in my wedding dress.
Nice.
And Katie's my oldest niece on the Johnson side. And life has taken us all over the place, places we never dreamed we would go. But we have 9 children. We have 6 biological children, followed by a sibling group that we adopted from Bolivia. So we have the 6 vanilla and the 3 chocolates.
Nice.
And we started out never thinking we would adopt necessarily. I mean, it was never like in our like bucket list. A lot of families I know have a heart towards adoption. And when we went to Bolivia, we went to serve the Lord as a family and work at an orphanage. And we signed up for 2 years. And at the end of those 2 years, we decided to go back and adopt our children. And It's a big, huge, long story. I actually kept a blog all the years we were in Bolivia, back when blogs were cool. And it's called boersinbolivia.blogspot.com. It's still there. It's like an online journal.
Great.
And so if you're curious, have, you know, an afternoon to spend it, I think it's fun, but you know, I'm,
oh, you're writing biased stuff. Very fun to listen to.
Lots of pictures. We had tons of adventures, but anyway, our whole story's on there. You're welcome to peruse that. But, anyway, since we adopted, we're experts, you know, right, on the subject.
Naturally.
And, so a lot of people, will ask us like when they're thinking to adopt and, you know, what's it like? Do you recommend it? Blah, blah, blah. And so, on this podcast, I'd like to touch on a few just points of, maybe advice or just where to go with what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long have you had your adopted children?
Okay. So we will celebrate 11 years on their adoption day in August. And, they were 3, 2, and 1 when we adopted, and our oldest, was, oh, I think she was 16 at the time. And then our youngest was 5.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Now everybody's grown up. You got, yeah, a bunch of adults.
Yes.
Yeah. You didn't mention too that you're a grandmother.
Yes, I didn't. Okay. So 2 of our children are married, and my oldest son, he and his wife have 3 grandbabies for us. Yeah. And I'm telling you what, grandbabies are the best.
That's great. That's great.
So yeah, it's been so amazing the last few years, like reaping what you've sown for so many years. And raising a family is it feels like you're in slow-mo a lot of the time, and you're just like putting it in and by faith, you know, doing what you need to do. And to have your kids married and serving the Lord and them having children now, and it's just such a blessing. So yeah, last weekend we watched our 2 oldest. They took the nursing baby for their anniversary. We had them for 2 nights. They did fantastic, and we just had way too much fun.
That's so great.
Yeah. So
yeah, I like that you're willing to just kind of speak to those families, young couples, maybe who are really couples of any age, mm-hmm, that are thinking, man, is adoption in the cards for us, you know? Mm-hmm. And as you said, some people maybe feel that they've had it on their heart since forever, right? They can't, mm-hmm, remember a time when they didn't have a desire, yeah, to adopt. And then I'm sure there's others where it maybe comes upon them, you know, yeah, like, I don't know, you know, in the middle of the night, they're like, this is what we're supposed to do. And it seems like that was more or less how it was for you, uh-huh, for you guys.
Yeah.
And because I know that this has come up within the realm of our podcast, our listeners, and neither Katie or I grew up in a home where there was adopted children. Mm-hmm. And so it's really cool to be able to share any insight that you're willing to share, to us and to our listeners. Cause I mean, obviously the Bible speaks highly of adoption.
That's right. We're all adopted through Christ into the family of God.
Yep.
So it's definitely very close to God's heart. And, he has really big warnings and encouragement for the fatherless and, widows and, you know, those that have needs, that it's not, we don't choose where we're born or how, or what family we're born into. And, so there are folks that need help.
Right.
So,
right.
But along those lines, I would say there's a few things that have to be in order before you ever even think of adopting. The humanitarian feelings or even like religious reasons, like we should adopt, they aren't enough to carry you through. It's kind of like a marriage. Like it's a lifelong commitment. These are human beings with souls, and you are committing for life to these children. And so if you don't have a strong walk with the Lord and a strong marriage, you don't have any business thinking about adopting. You should get those things in order first, because children come to you with needs when they're older and you adopt them. So if you don't have your walk with the Lord strong or your marriage strong, it's really going to come under fire in unique ways. So those things are very important. Don't just adopt because it feels like a good thing to do. It's not, unless you have your life in order to some degree. I mean, life is messy. Sure. None of us are perfect, but at least be conscious of that fact.
Yeah. Well, even with that, you know, you say life is messy, you have your life in order. And when you're living amongst either family or other Christians, those are the type of people that can tell you one way or the other.
Yes.
You know, thanks that they, because like you said, none of us are perfect, right. But like when you've got people that you've been in community with or doing church with, or that you're related to,
yes.
And they've known you for long enough, they can say, well, no, it does seem like that would be an appropriate thing. Or they'd say, you might want to get a couple of these things in order here first.
Right.
And so there, even though that is, you know, a spectrum on like having your life together, right? Like how do you quantify that?
Right.
That's, I think, the power of going to others for wisdom.
Absolutely. So along those lines too, your community really matters. So I know for Rudy and I, we went to our parents and it was like, how do you feel about this? Do you feel like this is a good idea? And, they said yes. And I mean, I know the whole like marriage analogy breaks down at some point, but it's the same idea. Like you don't just date some person in a little vacuum chamber or whatever they call that thing. And like, oh, this is so great. You know, it's like you widen the circle to include that advice and, include your community into your decision.
Yep.
The other thing too, is that, when you, I like to say you want your adoption to have the fingerprints of God on it. Because you look back when times get hard and you're having hard days or whatever, and you can go, no, God opened that door and this door and that door, and this is his work. Mm-hmm. And when you realize it's his work, he provides the grace. He provides the momentum and the solutions and the encouragement. And so just a few things to keep in mind before you just jump headlong into the process. There also are a lot of doors that have to open, and they need to open organically and naturally and not be forced open. Mm. And so it's easy to get your heart set. I mean, it's easy to get your heart set. Yep. You're just like, this is going to happen no matter what, you know,
I will make this God's will.
Yes, totally. Yes. Totally. And for us, it happened that it was God's will, but I mean, along the way, it's very hard to like harden your heart. You know, you might not get to adopt this child, you know, but you do need to hold it loosely and make sure it really is God's will for you. Because that's just so important. I think in all of life to hold our lives open before the Lord and say, I want this, but is it truly your will?
Right. Right.
So, that's the first thing I can think of. The other thing I kind of wish I had done a little bit more research, which is kind of bizarre because we're the type that we just kind of jump headlong into things. You know, it's like, oh, this is such a great idea. Boom. And then you get there and you're like, I think I could have been a little more prepared. But, about, well, like 2 years ago, we were having some challenges as our adopted children came into puberty and like, you know, becoming teenagers. I counted up the other day. I have had teenagers, at least one, obviously, an up to four for 10 years. And we have 6 more years of teenagers. And next year will be our grand finale because for 1 month we'll have 5.
Nice.
So, you know, as kids come through these stages, we were having challenges. And so, I went with my oldest daughter. She was running her first 50K long distance running. Mm. Yeah. She's crazy. I thought you would die if you ran a marathon, but there are people that run like 100 and 250 miles and craziness. Anyway, so I was going down to be her crew and we went to an Airbnb and on the counter at this Airbnb in Oregon, there was this book and it's called The Connected Child. I took a picture of it and I'm like, oh man, this looks like such a good book. And I sent the picture to my husband who was back home and we were living in Idaho at the time. He said, Carly, you're not going to believe this. I was at work today and I was visiting with this gal and adoption came up and she's like, oh, there's this book you've got to read. And wow. She told him about the same book.
Wow.
And this book is a treasure for anyone. Well, the front says, for parents who have welcomed children from other countries and cultures from troubled backgrounds with special behavioral or emotional needs. And so it's not just adopted children. It helps you to understand brain development and how children that might have missed out in their early years on just normal basic things that you and I totally take for granted, and how you can recreate that and how you can help your child to basically recreate in their brain the spaces that need help.
Wow.
And so it's really amazing for anyone also, not even just adopted children, but other children, children that maybe had brain trauma in different ways. It makes you understand them and it gives you compassion for them that it's not their fault they're behaving a certain way. And it's easy as a parent when you've raised biological children who were in your womb, that were nourished properly, that had no trauma, then when you adopt children from a background where they had these experiences and it's not their fault and it's not your fault because you couldn't be there. You couldn't change anything about it.
Right.
And so anyway, this book gives a lot of hope and just step-by-step process that is very clear. And I just think every single adopted family and possibly even just your own children, just to understand that where the kids are coming from. I've read other adoptive books on adoption but this one is just really clear and concise. And so this is a very highly recommended book.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything after reading that book you would have been like, okay, had I known this when our kids were 3, 2, and 1, I would have done differently in those like first few years or no? Okay, you guys, it's back to school season. There's a couple things we need to let you know about. Actually, just one. The price is going up for Voteburg Music Academy. In order for us to continue giving a very high touch experience to our students. So what's wonderful is that we have families that can join on one membership. And that's what you want for your family. If you want one child to be participating, or if you want 5 kids to be participating, we want you all to be able to play piano, or if you pick guitar, or if you pick violin or fiddle, to be able to participate on that instrument. But because VMA has something that's pretty unique, I think, and that we don't just offer the music lessons that are pre-recorded, we also have live calls where your student gets specific feedback on their form, their technique. We can correct issues real time with our teachers, which are very experienced. That is a very high touch experience that we get to offer to you guys, and we want to keep it that way. So the good news for you is that if you are planning on joining during the school year, you can join right now for the exact same price. You'll be grandfathered in for as long as you choose to stay a family of Voteburg Music Academy. And I wanted to give you guys that heads up because while it's still going to be the most affordable way to learn music lessons here in a couple months, now it will be even better.
We'll see you over there. Bye-bye.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, you have to move forward with what you've been given when you've been given it. And so, we've done that, but, yes, absolutely. And so that's why I'm saying I'm encouraging people that are considering adoption before you ever, you know, pick the baby up, consider this to be an essential read. Mm-hmm. And, or maybe if you know an adoptive family, gift them this book because I think it would be a giant blessing. But, since reading this book, it's actually really helped us on our journey with our children to try to recreate some of the things that they missed out on as infants. And, one of the things that I have been super blessed to do, and I think this would also be a blessing for all families, is to do, I call it affirmations. And so the Lord gave me these affirmations for my children. But what we do is I have the child say it, say the affirmations first, and then I say them back to the child. And it's basically them speaking truth to themselves and then me speaking truth to them. And it rebuilds your brain. And I've been so amazed to, it's so interesting because you can read the Bible your whole life. And then when you are on to like a new concept or something like that, you're just newly learning, you just see it all over God's word for the first time. Like you saw it, but it didn't like impact you. Like what that, I can't believe I missed that. Yeah. But like the power of the tongue and life and death being in the tongue. And like, we literally can speak life, words of life over our children and, over our spouses or our friends or whatever. And I have seen it really impact my children. And I did it specifically with my three youngest, but even my older children, just being more conscious of speaking life over them and truth. And like, if you have a kind thought that goes through your mind, say it out loud, you know, and not be, cause I don't know, you can be kind of, I can be shy, like with my older kids to be like, wow, you just look so beautiful today. Or like, you know, your attitude's been so great lately and thanks for your help and whatever. And like, I'll think it, but then I won't say it out loud. So saying the words out loud, but the affirmations that I have done, is the child starts by saying, I am loved. Jesus loves me. Daddy loves me. Mama loves me. I am a needed and appreciated part of this family. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can obey. I can be kind. I can have self-control. I can tell the truth. And then I say back to them, you know, all of those, you are loved. Jesus loves you. I love you. And then at the very end, I'll be like, why can you obey? You know, why can you have self-control? And it's funny because when I first started doing it, they'd be like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, well, it's right there. We've done this over and over again, you know, but it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's like, not because you're a good person or anything. It's not you that's doing it. It's because Christ strengthens you, you know? And, but those reminders, I've just watched it build our relationship and build, like courage and strength in them and self-confidence by speaking those words of life over each other. And the interesting thing is though, is that, so many days I'm just like, oh, I do not want to do this. I don't want to say these words, you know? And then by the time I'm done, I'm like, yes, all of this is so good. Like, I'm so glad I said these words. And it's like the enemy doesn't want me to speak words of life.
Do you have a specific time, like during the day when you would say these? Is it just kind of like spontaneous or is it like before they go to bed or, you know?
So it usually when we get up in the morning, and then sadly, a lot of times it'd be like after somebody was acting out or like we just, you know, having a bad morning and I'd be like, I forgot to do affirmations. You know, it's like, we're getting in there. So we would like go in the bedroom and I definitely one-on-one. And, so it's interesting because I have noted that like, this will cure problems that like discipline or training, like it's like, they really want that attention. And you know how we say that amongst ourselves as parents or whatever, they're just asking for attention, you know? And so they're acting out or whatever. And in a big family, I mean, there's not much attention to go around. Oh dear. Anyway, but, so to give this like intentional attention, it's very powerful. And it really like goes a long way to just smoothing things over and healing a lot of things.
Yeah. That sequence of words is powerful. Yeah. Like the sequence in which you go. And cause I'm just thinking about, I'm hearing that from a parent's perspective and it really, there's so much, there's just like so much theological and practical implications to it.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, oh, this all actually is so true, you know, and it affects everything. And I want to implement that into our home. Did you come up with that sequence?
The Lord gave it to me because I was crying out to him. I was like, what we're doing isn't working. You know, when you're just like consistent and you're like toeing the line and you're doing everything right. Mm-hmm. And yet everything was going wrong. And so just one morning when I was reading my Bible and having my quiet time, it was like, you know what? I'm going to do these affirmations. And it was like, it just flowed like boom, 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 boom. You know, these are the things I need to put. And so we started out, you know, I typed them out and printed them out. And so, you know, the child would hold it and then I would hold mine and we'd say them back and forth. And, but within 4 or 5 days, you know, you have them memorized. So,
yeah, I just think of how powerful that would be to say over some of our children. Mm-hmm. Currently, I love those. I love first affirming that you're loved by mm-hmm. Jesus and your parents, no matter what.
Yep.
I love starting with that. And then I love the things that you point out too: obedience, self-control, telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Like I would say with different ones of our children, like each one of those things is a hang up, you know,
I think mean, it's for all children. Us. Yes.
But, those are big things
for me.
Okay. Yeah. Just our humanity.
It's like, I can be kind.
Yeah. I can be kind. Exactly. I'm like, oh, I think that'd be very, affirming for me to be, you know, say those things even over a child. And that's powerful.
It is. And you know, and you said a while back, you come into this realization that you've got teenagers in the home, you've had them in the home for, you know, a decade mm-hmm. and it's going to continue here for a while. And I think of that just, this seems to be the case with so many seasons of parenting where when you adopt the attitude of like, we'll just get through it, it doesn't serve you. And you'll think like you think things are isolated incidences and you're kind of like, we'll just survive this night or just survive.
Right.
But then you put it in the perspective of like, oh, we're just parents of teenagers. Like we're going to be that way, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of, you kind of almost have to have that attitude of like, we've actually got to find solutions here to parenting teenagers because that's who we are right now.
Yes.
And I think you can probably come to that conclusion in any season of parenting where you're like, it's not about survival right now. Let's go ahead and actually live this way.
Yes. You know,
right. Through. So how would you encourage or maybe advise people that, that want to incur, maybe they're not, they don't have adopted children of their own, but they're in community with people that or have adopted children, or they know people that are considering it. Like what are ways people can support, I guess, you know, or be an encouragement to families that have adopted children?
One of the things is when you adopt an older child or a sibling group, a lot of people don't think about like, even just like practical needs. Like, so when you have a baby, you know, you have a baby shower, you have meals after you have your baby or whatever, depending on your community, but typically. And so even just like recreating that, you know, throw a baby shower for somebody who had an adopted child that's 7 or, you know, 3, you know, ours were 3, 2, and 1. Like it would have been awesome to have somebody throw us a baby shower,
get
you know,
gifts and
give us clothes and like, you know, some shoes or whatever, even just a card and like, welcome to the family or just treat it like they're babies almost. So I think when you adopt a baby, so like I'm speaking specifically of older children you're adopting. I think if you were adopting a baby, that would be a given. You would treat it the same way. But so just being aware of older adopted children, there still are needs and there still is like, it kind of can feel like you're, I don't know, I don't want to say overlooked, but like, it's kind of like, oh, well, life they're adopting just, over there, just, like whatever, yeah, you know, rather than like, oh, they're like bringing children into their home. There must be some practical needs here, you know? So, and I don't think anybody's like trying to, you know, slight whatever, but it would be a blessing to just kind of think along those lines. The other thing is that, it's easy. And I do this same thing. Okay. So it's kind of silly to be like,
you should do this,
preaching this, you know, but don't be overly curious. Like when the children are older, don't ask questions in front of them. Like, oh, like, so are their parents still living or like, where did they come from? Or, you know, it just, it can get really awkward and strange and it can make the child feel kind of like a curiosity and like a museum piece or something.
Novelty,
And so like, just treat them normal. Just, they're another kid, you know, and they don't need their their past talked about, like, give them privacy, give them respect of just another person. Like, same way you wouldn't go up to, like, you know, your, one of your biologicals be like, so where were you born and how did it go? You know, it's like, what? That's strange. So just, and especially when, like, they have a different skin color. So it's obvious they're adopted, right? Mm-hmm. But just, you know, they're adopted. You don't need to know their whole life story. Mm-hmm. If you really are that curious, like, talk to their parents on the side, you know, don't be like, just in front of the child, treating them like there's something really special or different, or drawing attention to them. I think that's
really good to hear. Cause I know I don't know if I've said anything that I crazy regret,
but I
do think that that's just helpful to be sensitive.
Yes.
You know, I want to be very sensitive to friends and to their children and all that. So I think that's really, really helpful.
Yeah. And it's stuff you wouldn't necessarily think about, mm-hmm. except that you have children that are adopted. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, when you adopt, these children are part of you. I mean, they may not look like you, but, like, they certainly start talking like you, acting like you, you know. It is so fun to see my adopted children, like, at different times. I'll be like, oh, you're just like your dad, you know, because different expressions or funny little things, you know. And even, like, so they may be physically, but even facial expressions, like, you pick up the people you're around. And so you start, like, you start looking like each other, even though you don't, you know?
Yeah.
And, so it's, adoption is such a special thing, mm-hmm. and it's really supernatural, because your own, love, your own nature really gets stripped away, and you just get to be more and more like the Lord, and how he looks at us, and he accepts us just how we are. And he loves us, and it's a miracle.
Yeah. Again, I can't imagine, but just thinking about being able to have, anytime you have more of an insight to our Father's love, you don't regret what got you there.
Right.
You know, you never regret, like, well, that was really hard, but you're like, oh my word, I see so much more now what he's done for me, you know, and how much he does love me. And so that just is really cool to think about.
And I'm curious, we get asked this question a lot, like, okay, how do you prepare your
older child or the child that's going to be closest to welcome a new baby into the family? Knowing what you know now, having six children and then welcoming new siblings into the family that are adopted, that's a little different. Obviously, they won't be a new biological child. Mm-hmm. How would you encourage them? Would you have prepared them any differently to accept, you know, their new siblings? Mm-hmm. Obviously, your kids have been so great with it.
You know, but is there anything that you feel like, oh, you know, this might be a helpful conversation to have, mm-hmm. or, you know?
Well, one of the things that I haven't seen good outcomes with adopting children, either above the age of your biological children or kind of in the middle of, we purposely chose to adopt children younger than our youngest biological child. Yeah. Thank you. And I'm not saying that never, whatever. I'm just saying that the outcomes have not been good. And so I would strongly encourage people to adopt younger children and not babies. I think that, it's important to welcome children of older ages as well, but I do think they should be younger than your youngest biological child. That helped us a lot, that they were younger than our biological child. The reason we adopted the children in the first place was because our older children had fallen in love with them. So we took care of, so I don't know if I can really speak to this as well as maybe other adoptive parents, but in our experience, our older children, so we had been in Bolivia for 2 years and we had taken care of our oldest two for a full year in our home, kind of like foster care. And so when the day we took them back to the orphanage, cause our time was up, we were coming back to the US. We had a home, we had a business, everything in the US to come back for. And, it was like dropping our biological children off at the orphanage, mm-hmm. like after a year of taking care of these two specific children. So we took care of 9 children altogether over the 2-year span. And so I will never forget the day we dropped the 2 oldest off. And I mean, literally like bawling our eyes out in the backseat. I remember holding my 4th-born daughter and we were just like, ah, you know, and I was like, do you wish we never done this? Like we never taken care of them. And she said, no, she said, I would rather be like this sad and have had that year with them than to not, which was super sweet. But, so when we decided to come back and adopt, it was as a family decision, and our older children, were all on board and all like pushing for it. And so there was never really like a, okay, so this is how we're going to treat the kids. They'd already lived with us for a year, you know? And then our youngest was 15 months old when we adopted him, but he was more like a 9-month old developmentally. And so, you know, who doesn't love a baby? I mean, come on, like this is not hard. Yeah. So, the 3 of them just really melded into our family super easily. And there was never any like conflict with the children or anything. So I don't know if that is helpful or not, but
that's cool. And I think knowing too, like, okay, it was seamless and you had all your older kids on board, you know, it wasn't just like you and your husband going like, we feel the call to adopt, we're adopting. Right. And some of the older kids are like, well, I'm not super happy about that. Yes. It's like everybody was like,
yes,
we're in this.
Right. For a long haul. Yeah. And even like,
I remember our oldest having a conversation with her and she was like, basically we have to come back and adopt these kids, you know? And I'm like, I'm leaving my siblings here. So yeah, we were all on board and I think maybe that would be like circling back to the idea of the people closest to you. Do they think this is a good idea? You know, there, it is important when you're changing your family structure, that everyone's happy with it. It's it is different than a biological child. Because it's like optional. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, biological child is on the way. We got this and, you know, it's happening no matter what. But when you're seeking out to adopt, it's different than it doesn't just happen to you, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, the journey of faith that we're all called to walk as Christians is just kind of more and more apparent to me. And when I think of adoption, you know, especially after serving in an orphanage in Bolivia, and you guys served in Ecuador for a time as well, did you not?
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay, we were a year and 9 months in Ecuador.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then Bolivia. You know, because you've said, it's like, this is a spiritual experience and that you realize I cannot do this on my own. Mm-hmm. And yet I still think we're called, as you've talked about, to use wisdom and discernment, right?
Because
it's like the needs of others will always, we can't actually go meet all the needs of everybody. We can't adopt every single orphan in the world.
Yes.
And yet I think having a heart towards that is a good thing.
Yes.
And I think of that with our current children, just with what the Lord calls us to, like this is, it's a journey of faith.
Totally.
And it's like, we're called to be obedient and that is going to look different with each family.
Totally. You know?
And there are people, whether it's, Who is the gal that like went to, you know, like a couple hundred years ago,
she
went
Amy Carmichael,
like Amy Carmichael, right? Uh-huh. We were kind of like, wow, like how does that add up? Right. Like this is insane. Right.
Yes.
And you're like, well, the Lord worked through that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's every woman's calling to go.
I'm quite sure it's not.
Yeah. Amy Carmichael.
I can speak decidedly to that.
Or even like you were saying, like, okay, it could be ideal and more seamless to adopt younger children. And then it's fascinating how the Lord has some families.
Yes.
They have infertility or for whatever reason, they choose to adopt first.
Mm-hmm. Then they have biological children.
Yes.
And then, you know, another adoptive sibling from that sibling group comes into their home. Yep. And it's like, okay, now they're, you know, they're
so different. I am very hesitant to say that. I'm more thinking of like families that have like 5 kids of their own and then they adopt like a 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes, totally.
That can be a little sketchy at times.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Just logistically.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It makes a ton of sense. So what are some just like general encouragements you would give to people that have like recently adopted and they feel like they're like drinking through a fire hydrant right now, you know, and they're kind of like, this is hard, you know, like people that are in the thick of it. Are there any like basic thing, words of encouragement?
Well, one of the things is it gets easier and just stick it out. And really anything that's worth having is hard at first. Mm-hmm. And that's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
I'm like, fact. You want to build muscles? You got to work out. You got to hurt, you know, you got to be sore. But definitely get community. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And, whether it be you need childcare or, I don't know, I can't think of off the top of my head, those various things you should be asking for, but maybe you just need prayer support. And somebody that you can talk with and share. A lot of times just being able to vent to another adult and be like someone who's obviously not going to hold it against you or bring it up later on, but just a safe place to vent. Also really pray. I mean, all of my parenting journey, the power of prayer and just casting our cares on the Lord. He already knows it. He's just waiting for us to say it and admit it to ourselves. You know, I need you, and just bring it to the Lord and put it at his feet. And he works in ways, I mean, exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And, pray, be in the Word, just keep doing day by day. Get this book.
Nice.
book. Read that it. Sounds great. Read it every so often. This is beside my bed every so often. I think it's chapter 8. I'm like, I'm reading chapter 8 again. Yeah. it is so worth it. I mean, when I see really all my children, when I see like the growth in their lives, I'm just in awe that God allowed me to be their mom. And, there are just brutal days. You're just like, I want to give up. I'm like, I'm packing my bag. I'm like out of here. And then I catch my breath and I'm like, okay, you know, take a break. My husband and I, we take a lot of, time for ourselves. I mean, it's never enough, but like we try to stay really focused on keeping our marriage up to date, good communication. And, right before we came up here, cause I was taking this trip, we went out for the night at one of our favorite Airbnbs, and it's so important. Mm-hmm. And especially as your kids get older, like you don't want to be strangers when you just have to have each other, right now, these last few years, especially, I mean, our whole married life, but when you're raising teens, like you've got to be on your chops. And so be in tune with your spouse and, be a team.
Yeah. Oh, just kind of almost counterintuitive because you're thinking the kids need so much from us right now.
Oh,
to pour into them, right, you know,
but you're doing them a giant favor by going away for, you know, a day or two and then come back because you're so much fresher. You're so like, okay, that's really not that big a deal. Where like when it starts to grind, every little thing is just like, yeah, it is counterintuitive though. Yeah. You have to like coach yourself and be like, no, this is for their good. This is, yeah. And then when you come back refresh, you're like, oh yeah, this was such a good idea.
Wow. This has been inspirational. Honestly, this is just, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing this, Carla. Is there anything else you wanted to cover? Like anything that you just really feel like would be helpful?
Well, one of the things is I am very our family, my husband and myself, we're very anti-technology. And, she actually goes into that in this book about how screens are very addictive and very bad for children that maybe have had compromised, lives. Yeah. how do you say that?
Situations.
Yeah. Situations. Yeah. Or had trauma in their lives. And, so just the more, like the less technology you can have in your home, the better. And so, I would like to encourage people with that. Well, and, the other thing is that what your kids see you doing, they're going to do that, but a whole lot more. Mm. So we've chosen to not have smartphones, and we've chosen at different times to not have internet in our house. Sometimes it just hasn't worked. Like when we lived abroad, you had to have internet. That's the only way you're staying in touch with your family, and friends back home. Mm-hmm. So like we haven't been like crazy rigid, realistic about mm-hmm. that. But right now we're currently without internet, and my 21-year-old, 19-year-old, they thank us. Thanks for just not having it available. It's not an option. Mm-hmm. They have to go into town and get online, and mm-hmm. you don't do as much online when yeah. it's not right there.
Yeah.
So, just encourage your listeners with that, that you really can live without it. Mm. It's not as necessary as you think. So just keep the technology little. God's voice gets bigger. Mm. I think that the enemy is in this day and age, he's totally got us all deceived and says, be still and know that I'm God. And it's so hard to be still when we have a lot of screen time.
Yeah.
And I've experienced that in my own life where it's like, you know, you don't think you're like doing that much screen time, but then when you took it all away, mm. you're just like, whoa, like it's quiet over here, you know? And you have time to just sit outside and like, watch the sunrise, watch the sunset, hear birds chirp, you know, like be fascinated with creation, or, you know, the look at your children in the face and like really hear them and not be distracted. So just, that's an encouragement I think I would like to share. I know I'd like
to. You know, we like to hear that. It's funny. We were all up eating lunch earlier and we were all swapping stories of, you know, all our different phones. We had the Wise phone and just
the light phone.
Yeah. And then the regular flip phone. We're all like, oh, this is what mine can do. This is what mine can't do.
Yeah, I don't have any particular brand, probably
like you're not phones. Like an affiliate for
well no I'm brand. Not I'm not no. being sponsored by any, you know, dumb alternative phone. Well, I always say I don't need a smartphone, I'm smart.
There you go. That's right.
There we go. I like it.
I also, before we finish up, I want to thank you guys.
Oh yeah,
I really admire you and respect you. Hmm. And I'm kind of a little bit of a celebrity because of you, because I'm Katie and Elisha, you know, by marriage, your aunt. And so different random people, you're heard all over the world, apparently. Mm. So my best friend lives in Ecuador, one of my best friends. And she, the other day we were talking and she's like, so we were listening to Now That We're a Family podcast. And we're like, hang on, isn't that Carla's niece? So I was like, oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's my claim to fame.
Yeah. No, hardly.
We've brought you up on this podcast before. That means so much coming from you because we were talking about
this a little bit earlier, but it's just, I think the more you know, the more you realize you don't.
At least that's what I feel like we're finding is
we're still
so young. We're only a decade into this like parenting journey,
but the more you, the further you go, it seems like the more humbled you get in terms of like,
oh, yeah. Wow. But you guys strike a really good balance of like confidence, because it says, don't let any person, let no man despise your youth. Mm-hmm. Right. So with the word of God and the Holy Spirit and the resources you guys have, You can speak with confidence on a lot of things, but you guys do strike the balance of like being humble and like, look, we're young still. I mean, so.
Yeah. Well, I look at your
family, I say that to say, and I'm just so encouraged, like with the relationships you have with your daughters, with your sons, the respect they have for you. Mm-hmm. And so we're really watching and learning and just from afar, but really appreciate just your faithfulness over
the decades with your kids and just praying that the Lord continues to give you that stamina going.
Yeah. We want to finish strong. Yeah. And it definitely is one of those things where you have to be vigilant and you have to stay on it, because it's easy as you get older, you get more tired and you know, life happens, and to just make sure that you're maintaining and keeping it fresh with you and God, keeping your marriage relationship fresh. It gives you that longevity. Mm-hmm. But I'm really thankful for my life.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Aunt Carla, thank you so much. This has been a treat, and I know it's going to be a huge blessing to our listeners. And we're so grateful for both you and Uncle Rudy and just all your children. I will say this, okay, this is the one plug that I'm going to make for our business. Okay. Uh-huh. Your oldest daughter, Emily, is the ukulele teacher at Voberg Music Academy. Okay.
Go sign up. Best teacher there.
Yeah.
She is
not even biased. No. Just kidding.
But with that, we'll close. Thank you so much.
No problem.